In case you haven't noticed, I don't have my cane this week. And I'm happy. The biggest problem with the cane is when I was walking next to Cindy, I was either hitting her with it or falling over it. No. I only did that once. That song, "Thank You, God, for Your Blessings on Me." And we're going to talk today about the blessing. And I'm going to want to do a series during Lent on the blessing and the different things that applies, rather than a traditional Lenten series. But I think this really has to do all about Lent and what God has done. So we're gonna do that, and bear with me. I will probably say some things that you might disagree with, but I wouldn't lie to you. And I think I can support what I'll say. So it might be a little bit less consistent than maybe what you've heard in the past, but I think we can tie it all together. A lot of people suffer from a life that's a mess. You may have people in your family that every time they turn around, they either run into a brick wall, car breaks down, something happens that it's less than what might be like, might be ideal. You know a lot of them. And this message might not be for you, but it might be for someone that you know that you can help them with. So we're going to discuss the blessing. And there was a blessing that was given to Adam when he was put on the earth, and he blew it, pretty much. And so, kind of blunt, but I also got a mustache here in my mouth. I can't get out, and it's bugging me. So we're going to talk about the blessing. And there's nothing wrong with blessings, but when Adam didn't fulfill the blessing, there was another man that came along, and his name was Abraham. And Abraham became the blessing for us and became who God worked that blessing through. So I think that when we're finished with this on Easter Sunday, when that message is entitled "Sit Down," that we will have grown spiritually. There are many things that are covered under the blessing that God has given us. Song just said, you know, though my clothes aren't new, that's no big deal. Or I don't have a lot of money, but I still have the blessings of God. And a lot of money to some people is not much to others. And this message is not about prosperity, but a lot of times when we talk about what we have, it always gets around to money. And it always gets around to what we can buy and what we can have. And that's only a small portion of what the blessing is. So it isn't a message on prosperity, financial prosperity, but keep in mind that's part of it. And what we see from this blessing that God has for us, it can affect every part of our being, from our salvation, which is spiritual healing, to our physical healing, to that peace that Jesus says passes all understanding. There is a peace and a confidence that we can have in Him, that no matter what's going on in our lives, what's going on in the lives of our grown children and the lives of our growing children, that we can have peace. Levi has peace. And you look at that and you think, man, what is he, four? Amazing. He's not intimidated by anybody. Sorry, Debbie. But he's not. It's always no. And I asked Karen one day, I said, what was the first word Levi ever learned? She said, no, and he hasn't forgotten it. And he hasn't. But what we see is that blessing that Abraham had goes back to Old Testament times. And one of the things that I learned this week, and it was kind of interesting because I remembered some of this stuff from Old Testament history and Old Testament theology, was that back in the ancient days, earlier in the 1500s, the Bible was really locked up in monasteries, and it was locked up in churches. And the church didn't want people to know what the Bible said until Martin Luther got a hold of it. And in essence said, the just shall live by faith. And that was in the 1500s. Then in the early 1900s, there was that Pentecostal movement that came along. A lot of people shudder when you say Pentecostal movement, and say shudder when you say Pentecostal, as a matter of fact. But that had to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But that's biblical. Matthew says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry, said John. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Then 40 years later, it was revealed about this whole idea of divine healing. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. I didn't write it. Peter wrote it. Isaiah wrote it. Jesus wrote it. I didn't write it. During the charismatic movement in the 1960s, he added revelation to what we had and talked about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 10 says, there are diversity of the gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of us for the profit of all. There's a note out on the screen out there that talks about why church attendance is important. It's important so I can benefit from the gift that you have, and you can benefit from the gifts that I have. That's what church attendance is all about. It's not about 9,000 in church service on Sunday. It's about, have I grown spiritually? How much better off am I now than I was before? For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, but it's all by the same Spirit. That's part of what the blessing is. And then at the end of the decade, at the end of the 1900s, he taught us about the power and the integrity of his written word. Hebrews 4:12 said, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows our heart. And he doesn't give us all this at once, but the Bible says he takes us from faith to faith to faith. He doesn't dump all this on us at once, but he says, I want you to take this portion, I want you to grow in it. And then I got something else for you. And when you've grown in that, I got something else for you. That's what it's all about. That's what growing in the Spirit really is. But if we fail to see that pattern, then we get to the place where we think, well, I'm saved and that's good enough. And saved will get you to heaven. But saved won't get you a victorious life. Saved won't get you an overcoming life. It'll get you to heaven. And you think, whoa, wait a minute, preacher. I don't like that. I'm sorry. But that's why he says that someone's going to come to empower us. So the blessings we receive from God are blessings in whole. And I took some notes today, and I thought it was kind of interesting in Ray's class. One of the things that I had prepared was that some of the blessings that we have is the new birth. We have healing. We have prosperity. We have financial prosperity. We have personal prosperity. We have spiritual prosperity. To the gifts of the Holy Spirit are all part of the declaration of what's happened for 6,000 years ago. And so God set out in Genesis 1:18, he said to Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. And I've often wondered, and I guess I got a homework question for you today. When they were in the Garden of Eden and God said, replenish the earth, was the earth totally formed? Or did he expect Adam to go out and replenish the earth? Because that's what the word says. Could the animals speak in the Garden of Eden? Think about that one, because remember the serpent said to Eve. I don't have an answer. But I thought it was an interesting question. So God set that out. He said, be fruitful and multiply. And so that was the blessing that God bestowed on the family of man at that time. And everything that he needed to be destined for his future was in those words. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. So in the next few weeks, we're going to take a look at several scriptures that support the blessings, supports the blessing of God. As I said earlier, some of us might be upset over maybe a tradition. Some of us might have some preconceived ideas and we think that's not consistent. I'm not going to bring snakes in and handle snakes. We're not going off there. Yeah, well, I don't even handle black snakes. So we had one outside the door here one day and we're kind of watching him in the sun. I think Roger was here working or something, you know, and he was out there rolling around on the concrete. Close enough for me. But there might be some misguided beliefs that we have. So what I want to do is take a look at the blessings of the Lord. Because Proverbs 10:22 says, it maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow with it. Many people will tell you and believe in miracles and believe in blessings of God. They'll believe that health is a blessing of God, and I do too. They believe that our prosperity and our souls prospering and our financially prospering is a blessing of God, and I agree with that. Our safety is a blessing of God. That the peace we have is a blessing of God. But that same person might also say, well, God's going to make this sickness a blessing for me. No, he's not. Well, I'm in poverty because God's going to show me something spectacular. And I'm going to learn something as a result of this. Or I'm having bad luck. It's a blessing in disguise that God's got something good out there. You know what? You can't have it both ways. Ray was talking this morning in class about science and logic. And some of the things that we've come up with was God's powerful, he's truthful, he's loving, he's knowing, he's unchanging. He's creator. You can't have that both ways. God can't be truthful and lie to us. Yeah, but I'm going through these problems and God's going to make it a blessing. Well, folks, if that was the truth, every poor person in the world would be a spiritual giant. They're just not. There's just not good in defeat. So what is a blessing? A blessing is, and Debbie was touching on it today, is to say something good about someone. Well, what's just the opposite? It's a curse. It's to say something bad about someone, or say something bad about someone. And I believe our minds today, in 2017 and for the last few years, have gotten black and white confused. To where the Bible's become gray. We want to make it say what we want to make it say. We want to think what we think it says. But it's not that away. Many Christians have been robbed of the clarity in their life because of the confusion of what they and how they see the Bible and how they see what it says. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well." Sickness, poverty, lack of peace, lack of security. I don't care what you believe, and you can fire me tomorrow, but it won't teach you the truth, because it's not the truth. That's a lie from the pit of hell. But there's a lot of people that believe that. The Hebrew word for good is beautiful, best, better, bountiful. And so when we go back and look at that, it doesn't include a negative definition. But we've got to get our mind right. His blessing doesn't mean anything. It means a good thing. It means a good thing is going to happen to us. But it also means it is the empowerment of us to do well, to prosper. It says in the Bible, "I wish above all things that you be in health and prosper as your soul prospers." If our soul doesn't prosper, we can do all the things that we want to do, and we're not going to prosper, and we're not going to be any better off. When God created Adam and Eve, he put them in the garden to replenish the earth. You'll find some naysayers out there that said that he put them in the Garden of Eden to pull weeds. The only one problem, there weren't any weeds in the Garden of Eden. But that's how our minds and our thought processes have turned gray over what's black and white and what's right and wrong. And so people don't live happy and fulfilled and blessed because they don't know how. There's 2 points. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, remember what he did? The Bible says that he equipped the disciples to do the work of the kingdom. First, he gave them the Great Commission. He says, and this is kind of a paraphrase of it, but he says, "Jesus undeterred went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day, right up to the end of the age." What he did is he empowered them to preach the gospel. But secondly, he said to them, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that happened, and that empowering happened where they were gathered together. So there's two things. Number one was go, but number two was go with power. And go with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So it brings up the question, and one of the blessings was, is what's this Holy Spirit guy, or Holy Spirit person got to do with all of this? And we will tie this together throughout this next message series. And if you have to miss one, listen to it on the website, because it's going to tie all together. The blessing was Adam's divine mandate. God said to him, replenish, go, be fruitful, multiply. It wasn't just a multiplication of family. He was telling him to multiply the earth, grow the earth. Bible says in Psalms 8:5, he said, he crowned him with glory and honor. He had the power of God on his life now. Adam did. More so than what he had when he was just walking in the garden. But God had empowered him. And as I said earlier, he blew it. Deuteronomy 28 says, and I'm going to share, it's a little bit long, but it's in closing. I think it supports what I've said. If you listen obediently to the voice of God, your God, and heartily obey all his commandments that I command you today, God, your God, will place you on high. High above all nations of the world. All these blessings will come down on you and spread beyond you because you have responded to the voice of God, your God. God's blessings inside the city. God's blessing in the country. God's blessing on your children. Oh, we want that, don't we? The crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, the lambs of your flocks. God's blessing on your basket and bread bowl. God's blessing in your coming in. God's blessing in your going out. God will defeat your enemies who attack you. They'll come at you on one road and run away on seven roads. They're going to come at you on one road, but what's he going to do? He's sending them down seven roads. That's the promise. He goes on to say, God will order a blessing on your barns and workplaces. He'll bless you in the land that God, your God, is giving you. God will form you as a people holy to him, just as he promised you, if you keep the commandments of God, your God, and live by the way he has shown you. All the peoples of the earth will see you living under the name of God and will hold you in respectful awe. God will lavish you with good things. Children from your womb, offspring from your animals, and crops from your land. The land that God promised your ancestors that he would give you. God will throw open the doors of his sky vaults and pour rain on your land on schedule and bless the work you take in hand. You will lend to many nations, but you yourself won't have to take out a loan. God will make you the head, not the tail. You'll always be the top dog, never the bottom dog. You know what they say about the lead dog has the best view? That's what he's saying here. As you obediently listen to and diligently keep the commands of God, your God, that I am commanding you today, don't swerve an inch to the right or left from the words that I command you today by going off following and worshiping other gods. It's part of that gray area. The blessing includes the power and the glory of God, but it also includes the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And this is what his plans are for us. It's what his plans are for you. And if you want to go on and read past verse 16 and 28 of Deuteronomy 28, it'll tell you what you don't get. And it's not a pretty sight. Because the best part of it is the first part that I read. That's what he's going to do for us and take care of us and how he's going to watch over us. So we're going to take a look at something further next week. But he has plans for us. It says an apple tree, apple seed produces apple trees, and watermelon seeds produce watermelon. God's spirit-filled people produce spirit-filled people. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the presence of the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us and directs us and watches over us and keeps us. Father, we're thankful for that. And so, Lord, as we end this message, we pray, Father, for an illumination of what's black and white, and that we grasp that. And we grasp your word for what it says, and then we apply it to our lives for what you meant. In your name we pray. Amen.